Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This text is a text that comes around every 3 years, and I just can't wait till it comes. Here it is. The last few Sundays have been sort of a pushy, rear-end kicking, wake-up kind of messages. But today is that beautiful text. So our title is, God So Loved You. And if you can, if you want to, would you recite this John 3:16 verse with me? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I encourage you to follow the sermon outline. It's on the handout that you were given, the folded handout. The outline is there for you as we consider our theme, God So Loved You. It is my prayer today that no one leaves this place today unless they leave with a new realization that yes, God really does love me. Well, years ago, shortly before his death, the world-famous theologian Karl Barth was given a series of speaking engagements and lectures all over North America. This particular day, he was giving a lecture in Chicago at the university there, in the seminary. And at the end of his speech came time for questions and answers, and the moderator asked, "Does anybody have a question for Dr. Barth?" At the back of the room, a young student raised his hand. And after he asked the question, his professors just shook their head. They wondered, how could a student ask such a great man such a dumb question? And here was the question. Dr. Barth, in all your almost 50 years of theological research and writing, what is the one single greatest thought that ever passed through your mind? The lecture hall was silent. Dr. Barth took off his glasses, closed his eyes, and lowered his head. The professors were concerned. Would he be offended by a dumb question? Would he even answer such a question like that? Barth opened his eyes and looked up and said, "Young man, the greatest single theological thought that ever passed through my mind is your question?" "Yes, sir." "Here it is. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so." My friends, this truth is the truth of our sermon text today, and I pray, you don't know how I pray before every sermon, that this will be the one message you take with you every Sunday. Today's key sermon text, John 3:16, is claimed by many people as their favorite single Bible passage in the whole Bible. This passage, John 3:16, is often chosen to be the first Bible passage translated into a foreign language. This single Bible passage, John 3:16, is that Bible passage that every Sunday school child learns by heart. And you see the famous words, John 3:16, on handheld banners and signs in ballparks and athletic arenas. You see someone waving a sign that says, John 3:16. God so loved. Today's sermon will look at God's love in four ways. Glance at your outline, if you will. We'll look at God's love in four ways. God's love is great. God's love is infinite. God's love is giving, and God's love is unchangeable. Make no mistake about it. Today's sermon is about the love of God for sinners. First of all, God's love is great. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 says this, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in sin." Well, how we use the word great today in our English vocabularies. We say, that was a great meal. That was a great TV show. That was a great book. Ah, that was a great ball game. But such puny greatness pales, absolutely pales in comparison with the greatness of God's love for sinners. God's great love is beyond our feeble understanding of greatness. And so, when you go to the dictionary and look up the word great, here's the definition you find. Huge, immense, vast, magnificent, exceptional. In the early 1900s, there was a series of revival services held in the city of Chicago. And the preacher for each of these revival services was a young man, a very young man, whose name was Henry Morehouse. And for 7 nights in a row, he preached a brand new hour-long sermon on the same single verse of Scripture. For God so loved the world. After his third or fourth night, he was asked by the leaders of the revival, "Young man, how is it that you're preaching the sermon on the same text night after night?" And his answer was, "Because God's love for sinners is so great." The second point of our sermon today is God's love is infinite. Ephesians 3, 18 and 19 says this, "And I pray that you may be able to understand how wide, how deep, how long, how high is the love of Christ, and to know that His love surpasses all of our understanding." Webster's dictionary defines the term infinite in this way: boundless, endless, limitless, without measure. How can we human beings comprehend infinite? Infinite means it never ends. When I lived in the prairies, I used to think winters were infinite. They never ended. Infinite means something goes on forever and ever and ever and never runs out. When I was a little boy, my mama said, I used to ask her a question. She said I would ask this question, though, only when I got in trouble. Mama says I asked this question quite frequently. After my posterior was warmed with her wooden spoon, then I'd say, "Mama, do you love me this much?" Holding my finger and my thumb apart. And Mom would say, "I don't love you this much, Stephen. I love you this much," with her arms spread as far apart. Now, when you look at the cross and the one who hung upon it for sinners like you and me, we see that He didn't love us just this much, but He loved us this much. As His precious arms and hands were stretched out upon that cross and sinful men drove nails through His hands, how much does our Lord love us? He loves us this much. And the Scripture says upon that cross, He hath separated our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? That is forever. God's love for you, O sinner, is infinite. The third point of our sermon today is this: God's love for us is giving. John 3:16 has told us, "For God so loved the world, He gave." 1 John 4, 9 and 10 says, and I quote, "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." How do you know that God loves you? Because He gave. He gave the very best. And His very best ended up upon the cross for you and for me, thank God. When you do a study of the phrase God's love in the New Testament of the Bible, you will hardly ever find a verse that speaks of God's love that doesn't also speak of the cross. Love, by definition, is giving. And in the case of God's love, giving unto God. An old movie had a precious scene in it about giving unto death. In this movie, in this one scene, a little boy was told by his doctor he could save his little sister's life by giving her some of his blood in a blood transfusion. He had the same rare blood type that she did. The doctor asks him, "Johnny, will you give your blood to save your sister's life?" After taking a deep breath and speaking with a quiet voice, Johnny says, "Yes, sir, I'll give my blood for her." As the two children lie next to each other in the hospital bed, the camera shows us that the transfusion is just about finished, and little Johnny's voice breaks the silence, and here's his question. "Excuse me, doctor, can you tell me, when do I die?" It was only then that everybody learned that Johnny had thought all along, by donating his blood to his sister, he would give up his own life. But he loved and he gave. True love gives. If you ever doubt God's love for you, look no farther than the cross. For God so loved you that He gave. He gave His only Son. His Son Jesus gave His life as a payment for your sins. What a gift. God's love is great. God's love is infinite. God's love is giving. And finally, God's love is unchangeable. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says this: "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." If you're not listening, now's the time to listen. Nothing you will ever do will ever change God's love for you. God will not suddenly notice something displeasing about you and say, "Oh, I never noticed that before. Well, that changes everything. I can't love you any longer." No. But you know, this happens a lot, doesn't it, in our human relationships? Between family members, friends, neighbors. You do something thoughtless or stupid, and someone can quickly turn on you. Someone offends you, and you get your feelings hurt, oh my, and in response, you can choose to withhold your love. But not so with God's love. God's love never changes. His love for us is not like our hot and cold affection that goes up and down, depending on how someone looks at us. God is unchangeable. His love is unchangeable. What has the scripture said? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, my friends, this is wonderful news. Because whether you realize it or not, there is a battle raging. A battle raging for your eternal soul. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "The devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." God's love for us doesn't change. But the sad truth is, people change. And people are turning their backs on God and staying away from the fellowship of the Christian church. You know who those people are. I have them in my life, and so do you. They are refusing God's love. And by refusing God's love, they may lose the battle with the devil, that evil one who is seeking to devour them. The story is told about a hunter who raises his rifle, and in his sights, he has a big, large, furry bear. But just before he pulls the trigger, he hears the soothing voice of the bear speaking. And here's what the bear says. "Hey, my friend, isn't it better to negotiate than to shoot? What do you want? Let's negotiate." The hunter lowers his rifle and scratches his head and says, "You know, all I really want is a bear fur coat." And the bear says, "Well, that's very negotiable. All I want is a full stomach. Let's work out a compromise." Soon, the bear walks away alone, picking his teeth with a toothpick. The negotiations have been successful. The bear has a full stomach. The hunter has a bear fur coat around him, but not exactly the way he planned. But so the devil whispers to you and to me today and to all people, "Oh, take the middle ground with this Jesus. Let's negotiate. Oh, go to church once in a while if you must. But don't get committed. Don't get serious. Do not generously donate your time or your financial resources to the work of the Lord. Don't attend Bible class. Don't share your faith in Jesus with others. Listen to me," whispers the devil. "Let's negotiate." But some things are not negotiable, like your eternal soul. Are you committed to Jesus Christ? Is your faith in Him a vital part of your Monday through Saturday lives, or just a 1 hour a week on Sunday event? Do you understand how great, infinite, giving, and unchangeable is His love for you? Do you want to better understand and trust in that love? Do you want His peace and His strength and the certainty of heaven? If you want to talk about such matters, please come see me. As your pastor, that's why I'm here. Don't put this matter off another day. We come to the conclusion of our sermon. Please hear this declaration one more time, as clearly as I can say it. God loves you. Yes, you. As our sermon text has told us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Are you a whoever? God's love is for whoever's. Jesus, who died on the cross and rose from the grave, is here today for all of us whoever's. whoever would trust in Him for the forgiveness of their sins and the gift of heaven. In Jesus Christ our Lord, we clearly see God's great, infinite, giving, and unchangeable love. And my friends, make no mistake about it. This love is for you. In Jesus' name, amen.